Shalom to everybody. We have a very interesting topic in honor of Elul and Rosh Hashanah. A lot of people ask, how is it that so many of the Balei Tshuva, Davka, as part of their process of becoming religious, they leave Zionism? And one would have thought that if one grows up in the Zionist ideology, even if it's be secular Zionism, so that when they become religious, they should just add that on and continue doing miluim, continue serving in the army, continue celebrating Yom HaTzmaut. And on the other hand, we know if you look at most of the Balei Tshuva yeshivot, they are not Zionist. Aside from a Machon Meir, most of the Balei Tshuva yeshivot really don't celebrate Yom HaTzmaut. And obviously there's, you know, the psychological aspect of going from one extreme to the other extreme, that when a person wants to make changes, sometimes, inevitably, you could understand how they want to do away with everything that they did beforehand and look down at their previous way of thinking. But as we're going to see by Rav Kook, that not only is it not inevitable, it's chaval. Because for a lot of reasons, Davka Balei Tshuva should be among the strongest Zionists. Okay? We're going to also tonight cover a lot of the highlights of Rav Kook's classic work, Orota Tshuva. Derech Agav, because we're going to learn a famous Igeret, a letter, Igeret Shinayin Chet, that Rav Kook wrote to his prime top student, Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, in Elul Tafresh Ayin Aleph. That is 1911. Remember, Rav Charlap is just 29 years old. He already is considered one of the Gedolei Ador in Eretz Yisrael. And we'll see how Rav Kook addresses him. In source number one, Ktiva v'chatima tova, לכבוד ידידי, שוכן משכן לבבי, הרב המאור הגדול, אוצר נחמד, דשן ושמן, מורנו ורבנו הרב, יעקב משה חרלאפ שליטה. I won't go through translating all of the accolades, all of the praises that Rav Kook, who at the time is the chief rabbi of Yafo, and the Moshavot, or the Moshavim and Kibbutzim. But for a relatively young rabbi, he is addressing Rav Charlap with a lot of respect. He also points out that he is already of Beit Din Dekila Kedusha Sharei Chesed, where everybody knows that was the position of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, one of the Gedolei Ador, and his predecessor was Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, who got the job at the age of 29. And we don't have time to talk about the greatness of Rav Charlap. Just it should be pointed out that Rav Charlap was seen in Yerushalayim. Everybody knew already in his early 20s that he was one of the greatest tzaddikim and one of the greatest gedolim rabbis in Yerushalayim. And that's why when he met Rav Kook in Yafo, he was very sickly, and he was fasting all the time, and we learned together how he met Rav Kook, where he was told he has to go to the beach and get some sun in Yafo, and he was blown away by Rav Kook's righteousness and greatness, and he was the one who, when he went back to Yerushalayim, he was the public relations man of Rav Kook, and everybody said, well, if Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap holds from Rav Kook, so how much more so we should all. Anyway, he wishes him a good new year, v'chol asher lo, yirome maf yinaseh, etc., etc. Paragraph bet. Simachtani yedid nafshi bidvarecha yikarim. Rav Charlap apparently wrote Rav Kook a letter with different ideas regarding tshuva and the new year, and he asked Rav Kook to write back a long letter regarding tshuva. And Rav Kook writes back that, unfortunately, avalodeni mukaf miniyot, unfortunately, I am so busy, and especially everybody knows rabbis in the month of Elul, and before Pesach, those are the two busiest times of the year. And he says, I apologize, but I will just write in short to answer your request. Paragraph Gimel. Al dvar igeret hatshuva. Apparently Rav Kook had told Rav Charlap that he wants to write an extensive letter about tshuva, an extensive article about tshuva. At this point in 1911, Rav Kook doesn't call it a sefer yet, but he writes as follows. Gedola me'ori tshukati lizkot la'china u'sadra kara'oi. He said, I hope it will be a great thing, and I really am looking forward to, I yearn to prepare this work on tshuva as is proper. But he says that because the topic is so long, so wide, so deep, this is going to be difficult. Let's look for, jump down to footnote number one, where if you printed the sheets, you don't have it, but you can all look together. In his introduction, by the way, I should point out, Orot HaTshuva is one of the only books that Rav Kook wrote as a book. The first four chapters, including the Hakdama, the introduction, and the three chapters, he wrote while he was in Yafo, before World War I, before he got stuck in Europe for World War I. And in his introduction, he writes as follows. Look down at footnote number one. Ze kama ani nilcham milchama pnimit. It's already a long time that I am struggling, an internal struggle with myself. Veruach hazaka dochefet oti lidaber al dvar hatshuva. I have a strong push, an inner drive, to write about teshuva, which, as we'll see, Rav Kook sees tshuva as the main key which runs life, and which runs tshuva, and which runs the geula, and which runs everything. V'chol ra'ayonotai rak ba hem merukazim. All of my thoughts are concentrated around this idea of Orot HaTshuva. Now Rav Kook, in the end, wrote more than 40 cookbooks, and he has a lot to think about, a lot of different topics. Nevertheless, he writes, tshuva is a common denominator of all of my thoughts. Again, that is not tshuva when translated repentance, which is a wrong translation. It is tshuva as translated to return. To return to what? That we're going to see. Hatshuva hi tofeset et achelek hayoter gadol b'torah ubechayim. This is a very strong statement. Rav Kook says, the way that I understand tshuva, it is the largest topic which encompasses most of the Torah and most of life. Wow. Aleha bnuyot kol hatikvot ha'ishiyot v'atziburiyot. All of the hopes, all of the dreams, the personal dreams, the national dreams. This idea of tshuva, on the one hand, is the easiest of easy. Rav Kook here is paraphrasing the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Memtet, that says that if a man gives a woman a pruta, a penny, or a ring, and says, Hareat mikudeshetli, you are my wife, on condition that I will be a tzaddik gamur, I'm a total tzaddik, they are married. He's not a tzaddik gamur. The Gemara explains, because he thought of doing tshuva at that moment. In other words, the way Rav Kook is explaining tshuva, that is, I'll already foreshadow, evolution, that it's natural to improve, is the most natural and simple thing in the world. That you just got to think about it, and you're doing it. On the other hand, mitzad, Echad, on the other hand, Tarei Kasha Shebakashot, Shelo Yatza Adayin Elapol Bimlua Bolam Ubachayim. The world has been around 6,000 years, or if you want to count millions of years, and we still have not really completed and shifted into the highest gear of tshuva. If so, getting back to Rav Kook's Igeret HaTshuva to Rav Charlap, Rav Kook does not see tshuva as something to do during the month of Elul, or during the 10 days of tshuva at the beginning of the new year, but he sees it as one of the major topics of life, of Torah, and of the entire world, which encompasses just about everything. Let's go back to paragraph Gimel. Aval lefi erech gedulat ha'inyan ken rabu amaniyot, b'yichud kashta alay me'od ha'zbara v'akivun el ha'se'ara, ad kama lanmich razei olam, v'heichanu ha'gvul shel mikhsa atik. One of the biggest challenges is we all know that Sitrei Torah, the secrets of Kabbalah, are supposed to be secrets. And you're only supposed to learn them after you finish the Shas. And they should not be revealed to everyone. On the other hand, Rav Kook cannot hold himself back. He can't contain himself. And he says, I got to get this message out. And by the way, we have Edut, I believe it's the Nazir, who testified that when Rav Kook was on his deathbed at the age of 70, he says that he feels that he is dying relatively young. Wasn't all that young in those days, but that he's dying before his time because maybe he revealed too many secrets. And we see here that the secret of tshuva in Kabbalah is a very basic secret. What is the secret? So let's jump to source number 2, where Rav Kook lets out the secret and summarizes it in very concisely. For those who are learning with me for many years, we learned this together about 9 years ago from Orot HaTshuva. This, in my opinion, is the most important summary of Rav Kook's idea of tshuva. This is from Perikei, Piska Gimel. Ha'olam muchrachu lavo lidei tshuva shlema. The world inevitably is going to do total tshuva. The world inevitably is going to improve. How does Rav Kook know that? He says, not just because I believe in Mashiach, or I believe in Geula, that we'll all live happily ever after. But Rav Kook says, open up your eyes and you'll see it's logical. Because ein ha'olam davar omed al matzav echad. Because the world is not static. Kim holechu umitpateach. The world is constantly undergoing evolution. It's constantly improving. And we spoke about how sports records are constantly improving. And every other toothpaste is new and improved. And technology is constantly improving. And also, continues Rav Kook, also a briyut ha'gmura chomrit veharuchanit. Also spiritually, the world today, just like the individual is constantly maturing and growing, so too mankind is constantly maturing. And that mankind today knows that slavery is wrong, knows that chauvinism is wrong, knows that racism is wrong, knows that imperialism is wrong. And it was just 150 years ago, where many of these concepts were still basically accepted. Rav Kook says, look at mankind. Mankind is constantly improving. Now, obviously, it's not a straight road. Let's jump down to source 10, where Rav Kook writes in Orot HaKodesh, Amud Tavkof Lamed Chet, 538, מהלך המחשבה של ההתפתחות שנתפרסמה בכל הסדרות, he said, Charles Darwin's recent theory of evolution, which is conquering the world, לרגלי לימודי הטבע חדשים, עשתה מהפכה רבה. It's making great revolutions in the world, the way people are looking at monkeys, looking at amoebas, looking at creation, understanding Perek Aleph of Sefer Bereshit. But Lo etzel yechidei azgula. Rav Kook says, those who have learned Kabbalah, know that the secret of evolution was always known to Judaism. That the world was created on evolution, and the most natural thing is to improve. And if sports records are improving, and shampoo is improving, and the most natural thing for me is also to improve. And even if yesterday I was lazy, okay, so yesterday I was lazy, that doesn't mean that that's me. As a matter of fact, the most natural thing is to want to improve. And even if your cynical spouse says to you, since when are you changing? Since when don't you want to talk Lashon Hara anymore? And I thought you're lazy. Since when aren't you lazy anymore? You just answer, well, I have changed. And they say, what do you mean you've changed? So that's not you. And Rav Kook answers, what do you mean? Maybe yesterday I was lazy, but I'm not that way anymore. Or as they say in the Nike commercials, just do it. Nothing is holding me back. And when I improve, I am not swimming against nature. I'm not swimming against the tide. I am going with the tide of trial and error. Now, it's important to point out, let's look together in source number 8, where Rav Kook writes in Orot HaKodesh, page Taf Kuf Chaf Aleph. This is source number 8. We'll scroll down. Ha'aliyot vayiridot hen tadirot. Life is full of ups and downs. Life is full of challenges. And anybody who's ever been in the hospital, hopefully to give birth, and you're on the monitor where they monitor your heart and they monitor your labor pains and they monitor everything is up and down and up and down. And chas v'shalom, if you have a flat line, that's a sign that you're dead. And because life is about ups and downs. B'matzav ha'adam ha'yachid u'b'matzav ha'olam bichlalo. Also the individual. You fall, you have to learn. You fall, you go to school, you flunk the test, you go to high school, your friends laugh at you, you go to yeshiva. Little by little, you learn from your experience. That even though, if you look locally, life is ups and downs, if you look at the long process, it's one long arrow up with an arrow at the end, because we never finish our constant climb of improvement. In other words, what Rav Kook is telling us is that the world is based on improvement. If you look at the drive for competition, it gets us to improve. If you look at the drive, Adler talks about the drive for recognition, that gets us to improve. Trial and error. And all of these drives are leading us in the same direction. Going back to the letter, in paragraph Gimel, Dalid. Let's move on. In paragraph Dalid. B'yesod hakol, tzricha levo hasbara klalit shel bitachon hatshuva. At the basis of all evolution has to come the sureness of tshuva. Va'otzem ha'shalva, and the great peace of mind that tshuva, the fact that it's natural to improve and fall and improve and fall, that v'simchat oz, and the happiness and the strength, the self-confidence that tshuva gives us. Now here also, let's jump where Rav Kook elaborates in Orot HaTshuva on the concept of the bitachon of tshuva. Let's look together in source number 7. Maybe once we're here, source number 6, where Rav Kook writes in Orot HaTshuva, Perakei, Pisgah Dalid, Ruach HaTshuva Merachef Ba'olam. The spirit of tshuva. Again, what is tshuva? To improve, to return to my real self. To return to my godly self. That is a spirit which runs the world. This is the spirit which is driving the entire world towards the technological advancement, towards improvement, towards everything. Okay? 7. Orot HaTshuva, excuse me, Hey Vav. Mibiladei Machshevet HaTshuva, were it not for the concept of tshuva, that it's inevitable that we will learn from our mistakes and that world is constantly, excuse me, improving. Menuchata ubitchona, were it not for the menucha, the security that we have from this concept of tshuva, that even if I fall, I can get up again. Kisheva yipol tzadik vakam, it's the most natural thing in the world to fall and to get up. And we've given in the past the example that's based on the Zohar, Rav Kook brings it, that if you want to jump, first you have to crouch down, and then you can jump. And the further down you push a spring, the higher it's going to jump. And if I want to throw far, I have to first wind up, and then I can throw. Why do I go back? Because that is how God created the world. That falling is part of the next rise, to learn from your mistakes and then to rise higher. So this security, lo yuchala, if were it not for the security of tshuva, lo yuchala adam limtzo manoach, man would not be able to find peace of mind. Because if you make a mistake once, you blew it. That's it. So you're going to go to hell? You might even commit suicide. If there is no way of fixing our mistakes, we can't survive. We'd go crazy. If you want to climb, that means that you're on the move. And when you're on the move, that means that you can fall. And if you're not ready to fall, you can't rise. And thank God we know that no matter what kind of mistake that a person does, you can always improve. There is always tshuva. Our conscience. God created us with a conscience to want goodness. We want morality. We feel good when we do good. We feel guilty when we do bad. So we want to do good. We want shleimut. V'ashleimut ha-musarit kama rechokai me'adam lagshima b'fual. The problem is that we're never going to be perfect. Right? And even if we're constantly improving, there is that never-ending arrow at the top. We will never be God. We will never be perfect. So, no matter how good I'm going to be, I'm going to have a guilty conscience that I could always do better. And it's true, I could always do better. And how weak are we to really aim for that real high goal of real purity? So what are we supposed to do? On the one hand, it's natural to improve, and we want to improve, but we keep falling, and we can never get to the final perfection. So what are we supposed to do? How can we strive to a goal that we can never get there? Here is Rav Kook at his best, doing a play on words, that tshuva, which means also answer, and also improvement, Rav Kook says the answer is the natural improvement. In other words, the strive to improve, that is improvement. That is perfect. The most perfect man can be, let's just read it inside, Im adam alul tamid lemichshol, man inevitably is going to fall. We always make mistakes. Liot pogem betzedek uvumusar, to do things wrong, morally, unjustly. En ze pogem et shleimutu. These mistakes do not harm my perfectness. Well, Rav Kook says I'm perfect. Why? Me'achar she'ikar yesod ha'shleimut shelo, hi ha'ariga v'ha'chefetz ha'kavua shel ha'shleimut. The most perfect a person can be is to strive for perfection. That is perfection. To improve and to want to improve and to pick up yourself every time you fall and improve. Now you're beginning to see why Rav Kook wants to bring this message of evolution and spiritual evolution to the world, and he can't even contain himself. And he says, this is the biggest message which contains most of life and most of Torah. Now, Rav Simcha Bani Mapshischa, he once said that man makes mistakes. God created us to make mistakes. So Hashem, he's our creator, he doesn't punish us for making mistakes. He punishes us for not doing tshuva. Because it's so easy just to say, I'm sorry, I want to improve. And we have that at our disposal, and it's the most natural thing in the world. So if we don't do it, then we deserve a punishment. It's a beautiful concept. Getting back to Rav Kook's letter to Rav Charlap, in paragraph A, Hadea mitala ad lerome oz. You know what? We're running out of time, so let's skip to the third line of paragraph A. Va'kol poteach shira. This concept of constant improvement, the whole world will sing. Shirat Adam Arishon. This is the song of Adam Arishon, Adam. Bikochat shel tshuva mizmor shir liyom haShabbat. The Midrash says that Adam and Chava ate from the forbidden fruit on the first Friday, on the very first day of creation. But Adam already did tshuva. So that when Shabbat came in, after he apologized to God, he sang Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat. How does Rav Kook do, what does he do with that Midrash? He says, look on at that psalm that supposedly Adam HaRishon said on the first Shabbat. Ki simachtani Hashem befoalecha b'maseh yadecha aranein. I am so happy. Why is he happy? He just sinned. Rav Kook is explaining he is so happy because we always have that natural ability, the natural answer is tshuva, to improve. Skip down another line. V'davka lo vilam b'smachot v'gil, b'lo shum derech otzev, b'ruach oz u'gvurat ra'am, b'msilot kodesh slulot u'mesukalot, b'koach hitgalut nitzutzei orot shel yom ge'ula. This is part of what Hashem is revealing to us, the day of redemption. It's already being revealed. Hamitgala lanu b'chol et be'eretz ha'chaim. That every moment here in the land of Israel, the ge'ula, the redemption, is developing. Ayedei ha'ketz ha'migule. Through that revealed sign of how do you know the Mashiach is coming? We'll see it in a second. Shel arei Yisrael ha'nevadim v'nizraim. When the mountains of the land of Israel are planted and are growing. Here Rav Kook is referring clearly to, scroll down, to source number 11 at the very end, where Chazal tell us, V'amar Rebbe Abba, ein lecha ketz megule mizeh. There is no clearer sign of redemption than this. Now, why do we need a clearer sign? Because there are a lot of unclear signs, right? You look in the Nevi'im Achronim, you see that there's going to be a great, terrible Shoah before the redemption. Well, every time there was a false Messiah, he proved himself by saying, this must be the Shoah. And that's what they said about the Crusades, and that's what they said about Gzeirat Titnu, and So, I guess that's not a clear sign. And the Geula, before the Geula, there's supposed to be a great war. And they said in World War I, oh, this must be the great war. Until World War II came around. Then they said, oh, this must be the great war. And then Milchemet HaShichur, the War of Independence, came around. And then the Six-Day War. And then people went back to Zechariah and Yechezkel, and they look at Milchemet Gog and Magog, this end of days wars, Armageddon, and it says there that it's after we come back to the land of Israel and we have an independent state, then the Gentile nations are going to come and try and take it away. In other words, it ain't World War I, it ain't World War II, this must be it. But again, that's not a clear sign because we don't know what kind of wars they're going to be. Anyway, Chazal want to know what is the clearest sign that we are in redemption. Notice, we don't have prophets today who are going to tell us this is it. So the answer is, Ein lecha ketz megule mizeh shene'emar, as it says in Yechezkel, Lamedvav Chet, Ve'atem hare Yisrael, you mountains of Israel, Anpechem titenu, Uperyechem tisu, grow branches, carry your fruit, because Le'ami Yisrael ki kirvu lavo, because my nation of Israel is about to return to the land. And Rashi explains, Keshetitein Eretz Yisrael Pirya Bayin Yafa, Az Yikarei Vaketz, Ve'en Lecha Ketz Megula Yoter. How do we know when the Geula is actually coming? When the land of Israel, which was originally part of the Fertile Crescent, is very good land. It's the land of milk and honey, it's the land of the seven species, it's the land of Eretz Asher Lo Techsar Kolba, it's a land which has everything. But God tells us if we don't do the mitzvot, He's going to exile us from the land, and the land will turn barren. Well, that came true. And Hashem says, when is it going to be revived, the land? Only when Am Yisrael is about to return. Getting back to the Igeret, and here is the punchline. Paragraph Vav. Ve'im yavo adam lichadesh. If everybody's trying to figure out what does this have to do with the headline at the beginning of the page, here it comes. Ve'im yavo adam lichadesh dvarim el yonim be'iskei atshuva bezman hazeh ve'el divrat ketz ha'migule ve'ora yeshua hazerucha lo yabit lo yuchal lichaven shum davar lamitata shel torat emet. Rav Kook is telling us that if a person wants to talk about tshuva, and especially write new books on the concept of tshuva in our generation, and he doesn't relate to Zionism and to the return and the ingathering of the exiles and the fruition of the deserted land that is coming back to life, he missed the boat. And there are really four very important points. Why is it so important to Balei Tshuva and in Balei Tshuva Yeshivot to talk about Zionism? Number one, the most simple point, is that this is the strongest weapon that we have to convince people that there is a God. Because after the Holocaust, where not only the Goyim said, Jew, where's your God? A lot of Jews also started asking themselves, are we still the chosen people? Where was God in the Holocaust? And whether we understand that or not, 3 years later in the War of Independence, in the words of the Sri Deish that I mentioned here once, the Sri Deish says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, anybody who wanted to know, is God still alive after the Holocaust? Look at the state of Israel, and the answer is yes. And if you had a question, are the Jews still the chosen people? Look at the state of Israel, and the answer is yes. Now, that was in 1948, and Rav Kook didn't even see, he didn't see the Holocaust, and he didn't see the State of Israel, he didn't see the Six-Day War, he didn't see the fact that most of the Jews in the world today are living in the land of Israel. But if you want to prove that the prophecies, that the Tanakh, and that the Torah is true, the strongest proof is look at the land of Israel, where the Jews have come back after a very long 2,000-year exile from the four corners of the world. By the way, I'll add parenthetically that pasuk that I just quoted is pasuk number 5,708 in the Torah, where the pasuk says that Hashem will return us to the land of Israel, and He will make us strong, and we will become even greater than our forefathers. By the way, if you want to count, do what I did. Don't count from the beginning, count from the end. At the end of the Torah, it says how many psukim there are, and then you just count backwards, and you'll see that the pasuk of 5,708, which was the year of the founding of the State of Israel, that came true in the year 5,708. And so that's point number one. If you're trying to convince somebody to do tshuva and to be a religious Jew, and to prove to him the existence of God, Zionism is the greatest proof that God still exists and that the people of Israel are still the chosen people. That's point number one. Point number two, Rav Kook writes elsewhere, and we've learned this together, those who are our regulars, that one of the ground rules of the world is altruism. God created the world out of altruism. He is perfect, and he doesn't need anything, but he wants to give. And when God gives, he gives the perfect good. What is the perfect good, and how does God give? If he lacks nothing, the answer is altruism. Altruism is when you give without getting anything in return. In other words, God created the world. Rosh Hashanah, it's an important Dvar Torah. The world was created out of God's desire to give. That even though he's perfect and he doesn't need anything, he wants to give, even without getting anything in return. Now, when we have the state of Israel, the most natural thing in the world for a kid growing up in Israel is to give 3 years of his life to the army, to give a year or two in Shirut Lumi to Am Yisrael, if need be, to give your life for Am Yisrael, for the state of Israel. 26,000 people have given their lives for the state of Israel. And when you're growing up in the land of Israel, to be altruistic is natural. As opposed to in the Western society, where we have a problem of the me generation, in Israel, obviously, we're also part of the Western society, so today it's a little more difficult, but Zionism and the state of Israel teaches us you are not individuals. You are part of a klal, you are part of Am Yisrael, and just look at the Tanakh. The Tanakh is written for Am Yisrael, which brings us to point number three. Why is it so important to talk to Balei Tshuva about Zionism? Because there always were righteous individuals. Metushelach, Shem, Ever, Chanoch, Noach. The chidush of Am Yisrael is that an entire nation can and will live according to the godly ideals. Because to bring godly ideals to that 12.5%, at the extreme of the bell curve, that's no kunz. But tzibur is comprised of tzadikim, benonim, ureshaim. The bell curve and any Jewish state, which is made of 12 million, 13, 14 million people, when all the Jews of the world will come here, that includes more intellectual, less intellectual, more idealistic, less idealistic, more learned, less learned. And the Torah says, va'amech kulam tzadikim. How can we run an entire nation based on the godly ideals when the Torah is the law of the land? And that will bring godliness to have a moral army, to have a moral economy, to have a godly sewage system. And that's number three. Point number four, and this is the main point for Rav Kook here. Why is it so important to talk about Zionism to Balei Tshuva? Because Zionism is part of the process. You open your eyes and you see the first Aliyah, the second Aliyah, the Aliyah before the Holocaust, the Aliyah after the Holocaust, the Aliyah of the Sephardic countries, the Aliyah from Russia, the Aliyah from that's what processes are about. That's what evolution is about. The Geula is not zbang, one day Mighty Mouse is going to come out of the heavens and yell, "Here I am to save the day." That's not the Jewish Mashiach. The Jewish Mashiach is a slow but sure process. In other words, evolution. In other words, tshuva. The whole concept of tshuva, that the world is constantly improving, well, let me draw it more accurately. If the whole world slowly but surely was always improving over the past 150 years with the technological revolution, the pace of tshuva has totally shot up. Computers, technology have totally changed the world over the past 50 years, more than the previous 5,000 years put together. The concept of what I said before about maturing out of racism, chauvinism, slavery, imperialism, all of this is what tshuva is about. So when we talk to a non-religious or a beginning to be religious Baal Tshuva about tshuva, we have to, if we're smart, tie it in together with the fact that not only is it natural for the individual to do tshuva, it's natural for Am Yisrael to do tshuva, it's natural, the Torah is telling us that's what Geula is about. And you know what? Your and my tshuva is part of a worldwide process. Because as Am Yisrael is returning to the land of Israel, and as we have a Jewish state and a Jewish army, and the Torah is reviving, and there are more people learning in yeshiva today than ever before, etc., etc., that is the process of evolution. And that is why Rav Kook gets so excited when he talks about tshuva, about evolution. It's not just one, and by the way, this explains why the Rambam doesn't count tshuva as one of the 613 mitzvot. The Rambam says, vidui, saying, I sinned, I'm going to improve, that is one of the 613 mitzvot. But tshuva, according to Rav Kook, that encompasses the entire Torah. As a matter of fact, it encompasses all of life. It encompasses, that's how the world was created out of evolution. That is our life, the individual, the micro. That is the macro. That is the national. That is the international. That's the universal. Bikitsur, to summarize the 4 points, why is it so important to Davka Balei Tshuva? Don't let them forget or degrade their Zionism. Number one, because Zionism is the greatest proof that God is still alive and well, and that we are still the chosen people. Number two, altruism. Being part of a Jewish state brings altruism back on the front stage. Number three, Am Yisrael, to be an Or LaGoyim, to be a nation to the world. We are the turning point, the pivot point, and now we are once again back in the land of Israel as a nation. And that is a key turn in history. And number four, the most important point, the state of Israel and Zionism shows and proves how processes run. Halavai, that we should open our eyes and be part of this process.